I want to talk about our hope defined and detailed. I was in Romans chapter 8 last week. I plan not today, next Sunday, to go back into Romans 8, but I could not go into this passage this morning. It's the third week on our looking at our hope. We talked about our amplified hope, and so we want to continue to understand what is the hope that God wants you to have. We live in a hope-so society. I hope so. I hope it works out. Hope so. People have very kind of tilted head and sometimes looking down when they say that, I hope so. You need to have a hope so that it's a no so. On the authority of God's holy, awesome word, you have the right to be confident. Christians, born again, believing Christians, have the right to be confident. Amen. Beth and I had one pastor who thought too many Christians look like they drink and have been baptized in pickle juice. Lay hold of your promised hope. You do not have to look and smell like a sour pickle. All right? If you cannot get excited about what's promised to you as a child of God, in newsflash, the test of a true child of God, and I believe that was reflected so well in the woman who shared about her 9/11 experience, the test of a true child of God is to be able to answer with certainty who Jesus Christ is. The Bible is clear. The Bible says this in 1 John chapter 5, around verse 11, 12. He who has the Son, that's not S-U-N, it's S-O-N. He who has the Son, Jesus, has life. He who does not have the Son, Jesus, does not have life. I hope not only are you breathing today, but you have everlasting life, and you are thoroughly enjoying that everlasting life, because if you do this, you can understand how detailed and defined your hope truly is. If you understand the magnitude of the hope that you have as a believer, it will change your life. I think we should be building into our thinking and expectancy a real confidence that whatever's going on in this world, as ugly as it is, and things that are happening, and hurricanes and tornadoes, and our life being basically, we are sometimes feel like we're hanging on, right? We're just barely hanging on, that you would recognize on the authority of God's holy, precious word that belongs to you, that He gave this for you, that you would lay hold of this. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is really a victory chapter. Do you realize that the Apostle Paul deals with so many of the challenges that every human being faces? And he gives a special set of instructions that the church would think correctly about their true future and never lose track of that. But the Bible says that we have many enemies. We have an adversary. And that adversary wants to take you off of your firm hope. And he often uses very sophisticated language and lies and fear and the things that can just get a hold of all of our lives. And it keeps us from moving forward with the type of hope that the apostle says, you as a believer, this belongs to you. First Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 50. That's a lot of F's in there. It says here, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, open up our minds and our hearts today to see what belongs to us. I pray for those, Lord, who are unsure of where they stand with you, that this would be a day of assurance. I pray that we would be undistracted by anything going on in our thinking right now, and that we would zero in on the precious, powerful Word of God that would teach us what belongs to us and what is a guarantee for our future. In Jesus' name, amen. I am praying for fresh, unapologetic boldness for me as the pastor and for you as this church. The Bible says that while we have opportunity to do good to all men, doing good to all men is doing everything we do in this church for the saving of souls, and with equal diligence, if our fervor to save people doesn't match our fervor to also grow them, we are out of balance. A church can be very evangelistically minded in sharing Christ, but if they're not committed to building up those people in their most holy faith, we are out of balance. And we want to strike the right balance when it comes to our thinking about reaching people for Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for what's happening. But I also want us to remember that it is so important that, yes, let's get people saved, but let's also get them growing. That is why the local church exists. This is the very purpose of the local church. Parachurch ministries can be very effective, but the real work of what happens is in the life of a good local church that upholds Jesus Sunday after Sunday, that we never get our eyes off of Him. We never stop talking about Him. He is the friend that we want in every conversation. We want to be motivated by Him. I just love talking about Him. He is so sweet. There is no other sweeter name than Jesus. Can you say that name with me? Jesus. I pray that you know Him this morning. The apostle says, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace that is able to build you up. See, the believer really needs ongoing building up. I believe another word for that would be revival. And I'm praying for true revival in this church, that it would spread beyond these four walls. That the problems of this life that plague every one of us in some capacity, sometimes it's just a new piece of mail. I got to be totally honest with you. Anytime I go out to the church mailbox and then it says either IRS or attorney, guess what? The heart starts beating, right? Thankfully, we got good people oversee our finance, and they deal with stuff like that. So I open up the attorney letter this week. I'm like, why are we getting an attorney letter? You know, he's not our attorney. We have another attorney right now overseeing some stuff for the church just to help us through some things. But this was a very encouraging letter, as you heard me read a few minutes ago. But you know that feeling. You get a piece of mail that's disappointing or sad. You get a medical report. Yeah, sure, I got a great medical report this week. You guys are keeping me young. Okay, I'm just saying, all right? You're keeping me on my toes. The ministry keeps me on my toes. I do not want to lose ground. I think momentum is precious, and you can lose momentum quickly. Just get your eyes off of Jesus Christ. You'll lose momentum really, really quickly. That's why we want to keep it fresh in here all the time. I want this church to be a bonfire for Jesus. That we just keep adding to that fire, that it keeps warming our hearts every single week, and that we're not afraid to tell people that He saves. And He saves forever. He makes good on His promise. I hope you believe that this morning. I hope you know on the authority of the Word of God that Jesus Christ saves to the uttermost. That's what the Bible says. He saves to the uttermost. He saves you in spite of your failure. And then this week when we see a pastor who has been walking people through the horrible challenges of suicide, who has been very gifted in this area, has been platformed to be the pastor of walking people through suicide, and just did a funeral for somebody who had just taken their life. The very next day, this gentleman takes his life. Can you believe this type of thing happens? You don't realize what a target you and I are for Satan. If you and I don't get fortified in our thinking, I mean really fortified, that you know like you know, as much as you know how much money's in your bank account, right? And some of you, you know, it's only so much, right? Some of you know, but you keep your eye on that. You know what belongs to you. You have a sense of, I know what's mine. Do you know what's yours in Jesus Christ? That's what the apostle wants us to get. Don't underestimate that we're in a war. And we pointed that out for 8 weeks in the summertime. That's why you and I want to be constantly suited up in our thinking. From head to toe, full protection. No penetration from the armor. And that's why the only real vulnerable place for the believer is the backside. There's nothing really protecting him. But you and I protect each other. We look out for each other and we see where the vulnerable spots are. But we have to stand fast and firm in our faith. We got to remember, and I think if you look at the book of 2 Peter, this is an amazing realization that I've been getting. If you look at 2 Peter, guess what they got their eyes off of? Jesus is coming. And guess what happens when you get your eyes off Jesus is coming? You gut it out, you're failing, you get discouraged, you fail, and then Satan's looking to pounce in there. Prophecy has a powerful purifying effect on our hope and our future. It takes that sting that we're talking about sometimes where it's just so hard and we're recognizing that this is just so temporary. God knows what you're in. He knows your problems. He knows your health record. He knows that. Guess what? He's making you new. Do you believe that this morning? My wife says, stop apologizing for being excited. Okay, I won't apologize. I want to look at those 3 points in the back of the bulletin. Maybe Chris could just buzz through those on the screen, but they're also in front of you. I want you to see that if we're to understand this, I believe there's some very simple things here. There's the truth, okay? What Paul opens up in 1 Corinthians 15, obviously all the scripture is true, but this is a truth that you don't want to get away from. In other words, it's completely reliable, verse 50. There's a transformation that Paul describes in verses 51 to 55. This is a complete change. So the Word of God is completely reliable. That's the truth. Number two, the transformation is going to bring complete change. And number three, we're heading for complete victory. Hallelujah! Right? This is the true victory. And see, the problem is that we live in a day that many people want to think that they're victory, if their life is still hard, that somehow they're not really a Christian. But you are going to have, Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation. He says, take heart, I have overcome the world. Right? And so now we want to keep our minds fixed on, okay, what is this? What is this completely reliable truth that God wants us to see? What is this complete change that is definitely coming? And what is this complete victory that we are promised? So I want to look at these and just break down some of these scriptures this morning. The apostle says in verse 50, that may go back up on the screen, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. At everyone's funeral, a decision has to be made. Where are we putting the body? Are we spreading it? Are we burying it? In other words, this body did not leave planet Earth the moment that person, they breathed their last breath. The Bible is 100% crystal clear. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. Don't buy into the lie that no matter how a person lived and what they thought, that matters. That's their truth too. Jesus made it very clear. He came into this world to save sinners. He's willing to save every sinner. Everyone perfectly and completely. If a person doesn't look to Jesus Christ, they are not saved. Do I know everyone who's saved? No. And you can't assume, we can't always assume that they weren't saved. But the Bible says that Jesus is the dividing line. We enter complete justification the moment that we trust Him. You don't have to go pay God back. If you never do another good thing, the moment you see your need for a wonderful Savior who's been presented fully and completely, bodily and then crucified and then resurrected 2,000 years ago, He paid it all. All the scripture pointed to that this would happen. The Bible is crystal clear that this was intended. This is God's plan. This is God's rescue plan. Man fell into sin at his own choice. And that sin line, and Paul deals with that here, has penetrated the bloodstream. It doesn't really matter that my blood came out perfect this week. There's still a presence of sin there that needs to be atoned for. And guess what? Precious blood did that for me. Precious blood did that for me. I stand according to the Word of God, and I'm saying, you too, you need to go on the Word of God, that you are holy and blameless in His sight as a child of God. God sees you as He sees Jesus. Okay, can you just be excited about that one and stop drinking pickle juice? Okay? So Paul's saying here, so this is a fact of life. This is the truth, completely reliable. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. There has to be a change. It has to be a demarcation, a point that happened in your life and mine that says, I know I'm going with Christ. I've gone with Him. I'm living for Him. I've trusted Him. Nothing else will ever change. I am going to keep looking to Him. But guess what? Satan hates the fact that you want to keep looking to Jesus. The Bible will tell you what you really need to know. No psychic, no horoscope, no fortune cookie for you. Right? How many times do you hold on to a fortune cookie? Look at my fortune cookie says, right? Like, will you just look at what the Bible says, okay? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Our God is so generous, so merciful. But He doesn't want us pretending that we got something that we don't have. I've said this so many times before. One of the biggest challenges in my young life, I'm talking 5, 6, 7 years old, was the fear of dying. I lost a cousin in a fire. 5 years old, I didn't understand the gospel. I did know about God, but I didn't understand. And I believe that even any child who just, I just believe God is for children. Jesus made that 100% clear. But there comes a point where once we understand what Christ did for us, we have to make a decision with that. We must. He's the dividing line. The Bible is very clear that no one comes to the Father but through Him. Acts 4:12 is another verse that will tell you exactly that same exact truth. That Jesus Christ is the one that every person has to look to. You know, we were with the lawyer this week, a lawyer who's going to be presenting on October 26th. And I said to him, it's like weird because my wife and I are working through a lot of things on behalf of our son Aaron with guardianship and things like that and future things. And, you know, we have to talk to attorneys and so it's estate planning, it's will planning, it's all of that. And so here we are. And so we're working through that as a family right now. And so I said to the lawyer, I just want to hear from a lawyer I've never met before. He's just sitting about. He's going to come and speak to us on the 26th of October. I said, what's the deal? Why don't people want to do their will? And he looks at us, he goes, they're afraid to die. They're afraid they're going to die. This is an attorney who was just like three words, like, wow, this is real. This is real. So pray that a lot of people will come and we'll be able to show them, you know, because that's the whole hope is that whether we do a Thanksgiving dinner or we offer a seminar, our hope is that when they come in, we had a memorial service here yesterday, number of people I know never been in this church before, but I could tell that they felt something here. This is a community of believers that I believe that people feel the love of Christ here. And and God is leading us. You know, a gentleman called the church about a week ago, and I could just tell his voice was desperate. And it's amazing. I don't know how people find out about us. That's why I ask half the time, how do you hear about us? Web or whatever. Or I went by your church, or I saw your prayer line or something. So word is getting out that we offer whatever. We're a church here. And some people say, can't find your church. I kept looking for your church. I couldn't find your church. And continue to pray for us as a church as we are really excited about our future. But anyway, this gentleman called me about a week ago. And he says, I need some financial help. And I said, well, what's going on? He goes, I just need to get to Atlanta to get some employment. And I said, well, you know, we don't give people cash. We've been burned and we don't want to do that. We never want to empower somebody who's either drug addicted and they're just taking the cash and go burning it on drugs. We won't do that. I'll never do that. Our benevolence fund is designed and geared to help people with a specific need. And we'll do whatever we can to help as long as the resources are there. So it's been a couple of days and we had the Samaritan's Purse offering and all these things going on. I texted him yesterday and I said, I just want you to know I did not forget you. So he says, can you please call me Pastor Dave? So pray for us as a church as we endeavor to meet needs. But see, I look at every opportunity that as the pastor and of this church and you guys represent this church. You represent this church to the outside world. So if you're drinking pickle juice, just get rid of it. You reflect us. You reflect Christ, and you want that to be something that's a bright light. Paul says that we're an aroma of life to some, and we're an aroma of death. Some people don't like the church. I expect when we go down to downtown Wareham in a couple of weeks, some people will be mad that a church is there. Oh well. Because I know what we stand for, and I know that our true intent is to see people understand the glorious gospel of our Savior, who loves us and hasn't come back yet. But according to what we're reading here, He's coming. And the only reason our Savior has not arrived yet and not called His church off of the planet, see, just keep this in mind. Our God can put the planets in motion. He can put everything. He gave you life. He breathed life into you. He let you be formed in the womb. And you see how much of the womb is being threatened today. We see all this stuff. If you don't realize we are in a spiritual battle and a spiritual war, just look at the news headlines. Just look at them. The Word of God is completely reliable. Paul says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. But with Christ, yes. With Christ, because He provides a complete and total makeover, transformation, new birth, everything that we need ready for heaven. And Paul says here in verse 51, he says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." I was looking like, you know, when I was a kid, I used to look at the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew Mysteries. I'm like, you know, you remember Agatha Christie and Murder, She Wrote? It's always these, you know, there's a mystery. Like, okay, who did it, right? We always kind of want to know who did it. Who's the bad guy? And we guess and all that stuff. But see, that's just mysteries. That's human mystery. It's usually revealed. But this word, mysterion, in the Greek, is basically the idea. This is brand new news, okay? Yes, it's 2,000 years old, but it's still new. It's still new because God's word is eternal. It's everlasting. But this is the idea that this was not revealed previously in the Old Testament scriptures. But it's now been made open. It's wide. It's for all to see. That's why we, as a church, we just hold out the gospel. We're not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the mysteries. There's a number of mysteries within the New Testament letters. There's the mystery of lawlessness that's going to be coming upon the planet. You think about like artificial intelligence today. I mean, I was talking to my wife last night about something, and this morning I'm like, this is on my phone. They're listening to me. Siri's invading my privacy, right? So I'm not all freaked out over it, but it makes me a little bit concerned. We are living in a day surveillance. Every single thing you go, Google now tells me how many photos I have up on Google. I'm like, I didn't want them up on Google, okay? So this is the world, and I think when you have sort of the present time that we're living in, and you see what Scripture says will come upon the earth, I'm just saying, I believe we're seeing some of the infrastructure in place for those times that are very specific. But Paul says here, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Mind you, the apostle is the spokesperson on our behalf for matters that pertain to the church. In other words, the church is any Gentile, any Jew. Remember, the nation, the Jewish nation, rejected Jesus. The Bible says He came for His own, but His own did not receive Him. But as many who have received Him, He gave the right to become the children of God, even those who believe on His name. So there's not just, oh, I know He came. Have you believed on Jesus Christ only for your salvation? Doesn't matter how religious you are. Doesn't matter how religious your mother was. It doesn't matter. Have you personally trusted Jesus alone and you're not clinging to any other thing? Right? That's the idea. So he says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So he's speaking on behalf of the church. The church has continued. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. God is building His church. Whether a pastor commits suicide, and that's the worst thing, and we see things happen, we see church fractures, we see church problems, we see church divisions, Jesus Christ is committed to building His church with every mess that you and I can see on planet Earth. That's why do not keep your eyes on a man, keep it on Christ alone. I pray as a pastor that I continue to point you to Him, that would be what happens. And every single thing I do, I point you to Him. It's Him. It's Christ in me, Paul says, the hope of glory. I'm just pointing Him to, and I need this encouragement. As I tell you, I preach every sermon to me, okay? If you all leave, I'm going to keep preaching, okay? but don't leave, okay? Make me feel at home. Okay, he says, in a moment, the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. In other words, something significant is going to happen. As one of the commentators says, we just know this is going to be very clear and loud that Christ is coming. Some commentators believe that this is Christ's own voice, this trumpet. See, this is so amazing. The Lord that we serve, the Lord of glory, the Lord of all creation, he's got it all covered. He can do the things. He will not all, the Bible says he will not always strive with man. You and I think like this world is a mess. Don't you realize that God knows what's going on here? That's why it's so good, as the old gospel song talks about getting on the gospel train. Have you gotten on board? Do you know where it's going? It's going to glory. I am going to glory. And he says here, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. That's every believer who's ever died on planet Earth, wherever their ashes, their body is. Christ has the power to bring this all together, just as he did the planets, just as he did every aspect of creation, to the smallest of particles and atoms. He can bring it all back together. This is the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is power beyond power. This shames power. Any power that you and I can come with. I understand the tornado was powerful, or the hurricanes that went through the Bahamas. I understand that looks like very much power. But no one's power compares to our God's power and what he is able to do. This is the God that we serve. He is holy. He's righteous. He's perfect. And he loves us. Amen?
Amen.
He loves us and he wants us with him forever. That's why this special set of instructions is given to us, so that we will not lose hope in this most dark world. But that's what someone, I think Brother Ed, you prayed this morning. We are, as a church, we want to give out God's grace and we want to shine his light. And we are praying for the best possible location to do that as we move forward. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. In other words, people, an exchange must happen in the life of every human being. It doesn't matter when I do someone's funeral, I can't now send them to heaven because I start saying a lot of nice words. At every funeral, I offer the gospel. I just tell people they need to be saved. They need to know that Christ loved them and died for them, and that the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. We don't pray people from earth into heaven. It doesn't happen. That is not a biblical doctrine. A decision is made. Sin is forgiven this side of heaven. While you have breath, we do not want to waste any opportunity for us to understand that and then deal with that and enjoy what Christ did for us. This is true life. It's not at the Las Vegas casinos. How many people have blown their fortunes? Drugs, just junk. Now the big thing is vaping. Like all these people now are suing the vapors. Well, you know, like at 18, my 18-year-old lungs look like they're age 70, right? Because you just keep puffing away on that stuff and it's destroying you. The Bible says we will reap what we sow. We do not blame God if we're dying of cancer and somehow we've been putting all this stuff into our system for all these years and finally I got cancer. Well, you got cancer because you didn't take care of yourself. The Bible says that this is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And that's not to make anyone feel guilty here. I'm just saying that even in your messy life, in whatever thing that may be going on in your life and in your family, forever God is faithful. No matter what, he wants you to be assured that if he is for you, who could be against you? And so Paul says, so when this corruptible, that's this flesh, this body, has put on incorruption, and that happens at the trumpet of Jesus Christ. Like, I was trying to measure, how quick can I wink and blink and all that in a twinkling of an eye? Like, how many nanoseconds are really going on there? The Bible calls it a twinkling of an eye. Some say it's just a microsecond. In a twinkling of an eye, this thing just changes. This is so amazing. Do you realize what will happen after this? The world is, the church, us, believers, are going immediately in the presence of Jesus to ever be with the Lord. Those who are left behind, that's why we want to share Jesus Christ with people, is because they're going to be left behind. Now, they can get saved a lot harder. Many will get saved. the nation of Israel is going to recognize in that time that they actually, they're going to look upon him whom they pierced. So that's why we have to get good at sharing the gift of life. And that's why I said earlier that, you know, while we have time, let's do good to all. All is giving the gospel. All is encouraging. All is a church that's faithful to the gospel. All is doing what we can so that we want people. Remember, like I just, Mark, wouldn't it have been so awesome in Jesus? This guy prays to receive Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. Rapture. Right? Hello. Out of here. Snatched. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. These are emphatic statements. You cannot get around them. They are very clear. There's no getting around this. God is saying this is exactly what has to happen. We cannot leave here as we are. We must be changed. But the believer already has everything they need, and we are just waiting to be revealed. You realize you are a lot more beautiful than you might feel. Okay? And the Bible says that if your feet are taking you to places to bring this hope to people, the Bible says that you have beautiful feet, gorgeous feet in God's eyes. Man, feet are ugly, right? It's like, oh, look at my toenails. I don't want anybody to see those. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, because this is what you're motivated by, this could happen even today. This mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass in saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? And that's a reference back to Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. Scripture is always pointing to victory in Jesus. Jesus is the victor, and he wants to be yours and mine today. So that's number two. So we want to make sure that we understand what God is saying there, that we have a transformation coming, and finally a triumph, complete victory. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The Ten Commandments were given for one purpose, is to show that everyone is a lawbreaker at some level. Jesus says if you keep it perfectly and you broke it, and just in the fact that you might have thought something that was evil, he says you can be guilty. James even says that. Guilty of breaking the whole thing. You can keep it perfectly. But if you had one thought that wasn't towards God in your whole life, hello, that's every one of us. God sees us as guilty before him. But he loves sinners. He loves the sinner. He loves you. He loves me, and he loves the people that we haven't yet seen come to Christ yet. The sting of death is sin. In other words, we're still being burned by this thing called sin. It's still burning us in one sense. It's still messing with us. It's still trying to get its foot in the door. It's still trying to make us ugly. It's still trying to rob us of our hope. It's still trying to tell us that we're stuck here forever and we're going to go on the ground and just rot. No, that's not true, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is not here, he's risen, just as he said. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God is not, he's recognizing our toil, our labor for him. The blessed hope, as Paul would explain to Titus, is simply that we are waiting for our Lord Jesus to come from heaven for us. In the meantime, we want to be about what he wants. We are simply living expectantly to see Jesus right here. We are living expectantly to see Jesus. I just love that truth. I am not beating myself up every day over things I shoulda, coulda, woulda. I don't do that anymore. I spent too much of my Christian life living in regret. You realize you're always going to find something. Paul says, "There in me dwells no good thing that is in my sinful nature." You're already just seeing what was already there anyway. But you do have to see that to get saved. You do have to understand that you are a sinner, that Christ wants to save you. Now, everybody comes differently. I just say if a person's willing to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, hallelujah, great moment. The angels in heaven, the Bible says, are rejoicing over one sinner that repents. This is so good. I love what Proverbs 11:30 says. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Finally, you may have heard this before. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. The present only is our own. So live, love, toil with a will. Place no faith in tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Can we be excited about what's ahead for us as the church? This guaranteed promise, we've got it coming to us. In the meantime, let us labor with the strength that God supplies by His Holy Spirit. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank You for the glorious hope that we have right in front of us today. The name of Jesus, the One who saved us, the One who's saving us, the One who's forever saving us. He's keeping His hand upon our lives. We've been sealed for the day of redemption, Heavenly Father. And I pray for anyone this morning who says, Pastor Dave, I need to understand more about what God has for me. If that's you this morning, I just want to pray for you. This is not embarrassing. You just simply slip up your hand and say, I need prayer. Anybody here this morning that says, I need prayer, I want to move forward in my walk in life with Jesus Christ. Anybody this morning need prayer? Amen. Amen. I'm raising my hand with you. I'm recognizing that this is also an ongoing need in my own life. Father, I pray for those this morning here who need the hope of hopes to continue to resonate deep within their heart. That we're expecting our wonderful Savior. We're waiting for that last trump. We're expecting immediate transformation. It could be today. Help us to live with that vitality and hope and trust in this evil day. We thank You for rescuing us, and we want more people to come. I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Stand with us, please.